You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now we're joined by An Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin. Taoiseach, obviously escalation in the Middle East. Just first off, you've been in contact with the Defence Force personnel in Lebanon. What is the situation like there for Irish troops?
Well, as of 8 a.m. this morning, I've been briefed again by the Chief of Staff. The situation is quite calm in our area of operation. Nonetheless, the broader region is very, very tense. Very complex situation, as you know, with many different actors involved, but principally here, Israeli military and Hezbollah in the Lebanon area. What we're witnessing, there's been attack and counterattack for the last number of months since the beginning of the war in Gaza, and it's connected to the war in Gaza. But it's been a sort of controlled attack and counterattack. And most analysts will say, including those in the military intelligence field generally across the region, that Israel and Hezbollah do not want to escalate this into a full-scale war.
Yeah.
And that seems to be still holding that approach, but very much dependent on a ceasefire emerging fairly quickly in Gaza. Our own troops are safe, They were, we continue to monitor the situation. They were in their bunkers for quite a number of hours, obviously during the attack itself. But it's quite calm now, and all are safe.
Okay, you have spoken about how it's imperative we see the immediate de-escalation of hostilities by all parties. Is there more, for example, the EU can be doing in your view?
Well, in the context of Lebanon, quite a number are doing everything they can to avoid regional escalation. The United States is in there endeavouring to prevent an all-out regional war because the implications of such a war would be, I think, fairly dire in the first instance for the citizens of the region, and particularly the citizens of Lebanon, but also potentially geopolitically bringing Iran and wider interests into such a war, because Iran is an actor here and doesn't often, on the surface, people may not see that locally here or whatever, but, Iran has proxies across the region from the Hezbollah to Hamas to Houthis and so on, and creating a degree of instability and not acting always, without question, in a good way, not acting in that way. So a malign enough influence without question on the situation. We have a horrible, in my view, shockingly conducted war in Gaza, where thousands of innocent civilians, men, women and children, are being slaughtered. And that has to end. And I think that is the key to de-escalation in the regional context. Any escalation would have very global implications already. In July I was in Africa. The impact in terms of sea trading routes already, because of challenges in navigation routes, is significant, with trade down 50% in some of these routes. That impacts everybody, and it impacts those who are most dependent for their livelihoods on the passage of goods through various trading routes, which are currently disrupted by rockets and missiles and so forth. So the stakes are very, very high, both for the region itself, but globally also in terms of an escalation. So I do think the Europeans, the French government in particular, has been working very hard within Lebanon itself between the IDF and Hezbollah to avoid a war.
Okay, just briefly, can I ask you to respond to what independent TD Cathal Berry said? He accused the government of freeloading on Irish, on other states, I should say, to evacuate Irish citizens and troops from Lebanon should a full-scale war break out. Can you respond to that?
I was very disappointed with the language in that press release. I thought it was somewhat disingenuous, to be frank. I know Cathal well, and Cathal contacts me a lot. He didn't on this occasion.
We never buy around. We're like the guy who goes out for a night out with his friends, take whatever we can for free. Has he not got a point?
No, he hasn't a point. We're members of the European Union. We work in concert with our European partners. Bottom line for us is to get our citizens out in the most effective and safe way possible. We've been doing a lot of pre-planning. We set up our own ECAT teams. These are evacuation teams within the Department of Foreign Affairs and work with the Department of Defence officials. We've been working on this for the last number of months. Cathal would know this. The idea of aircraft, for example, if a war happens in Lebanon, the airport's down first. So let's not be talking about military or airplane egress from Lebanon. That's why we're warning citizens to get out now while commercial options are available.
Okay.
The situation becomes very complex, and not everyone has the shipping assets. We wouldn't have the shipping assets on the scale required, for example. So we have to work with other countries. I just want to make the point now, because there's too much of the bail bucked going on here. And we know we have challenges in our military situation. We know we have to make investment. That's all acknowledged in terms of the Commission on Defence Funding. And it takes time to build up the procurement capacity to acquire what we have to acquire. In the meantime, we work with European partners. When we evacuated from Sudan, it was very successful and very effective. That didn't stop people from having a go at it, but it was one of the more effective ones. We worked with the French in particular, and the French didn't want other militaries involved in that because the French were the competent people on the ground and they delivered the evacuation. Afghanistan was effective evacuation by Ireland and by our officials working with others. And we have been working with others, with our Cypriot colleagues, with the United Kingdom and with France in terms of various scenarios that may unfold in the context of a war in Lebanon.
Okay, all right. Can I ask you just before you go, Thomas, just a few other things? Passports, it's going to be over a million or up to a million passports issued this year. Obviously, Passport Online has been a huge success. Have you any concerns, though? I see Conor Gallagher, the latest English footballer to take out an Irish passport to get around rules in terms of EU citizens playing in Spain. Any concerns that maybe the Irish passport is becoming a bit of a flag of convenience for certain people?
Not really, no. I think I want to pay tribute to all our staff working in the passport offices. Quite phenomenal turnaround.
It's a phenomenal service, the online service.
It's a phenomenal service. Yeah, online is now 90% of all applications are now online. And the vast, vast majority of applications are all within the targeted timeline set for the processing of passports. And the Irish are travelling and travelling a lot. We're a globalised country. And that is evident. In post-COVID, the demand went up, as you can appreciate.
But my point about the Jude Bellingham, the Conor Gallaghers of this world taking out Irish passport.
I mean, there would be a minority of who are seeking out an Irish passport. If people are entitled to seek out an Irish passport and to acquire it, they're entitled to it.
Okay.
And that's it as far as I'm concerned. We don't get overly concerned about that. We are obviously very, very vigilant on a broader level about security of our passport and integrity of our passport. But it invariably achieves the highest marks, if you like to use that phrase in Leaving Cert Week, in terms of international index of passport services.
Yeah, okay. No, it's a point well made.
The efficiency of the service.
It is a point well made. Just very briefly, rent, average rent's up 7.3%. You're absolutely failing in that regard in terms of providing affordable accommodation, particularly to young people, Tánaiste.
Well, I think first of all, I acknowledge that price rises in housing is a huge concern to us. Supply is the only answer. When we came into office, Fianna Fáil decided to take the housing portfolio. At that stage, we were doing about 20,000 houses a year, getting new ones built. Now we're close to, we'll be close to 40,000 houses being built this year. We need to ramp that up eventually, in my view, to about 60,000 a year. And that is the trajectory that we want to go. And that's the only effective way to get prices moderated. In addition to that, I think we do need to help renters. We have brought in the rent, the tax credit for renters, and I would like to see that increased in the forthcoming budget significantly to help renters deal with the undoubted increased costs that renting involves. But supply is the key here.
Well, supply is the key, yes, if Fianna Fáil wants to delay for another year the introduction of the land hoarding tax, you've had a year to sort out the issue with the farmers. You've done nothing in relation to that. And now you're looking to defer it for another year.
It's not true that nothing has been done. And just to say it to you, there's 51,000 houses commenced this year, and it's been a dramatic upsurge in that because of the measures we took in getting rid of some of the levies and so forth, which has had a big impact in commencements. But back to the point on the residential zone, as it's legislated currently in terms of the law, it is, in my view, not fit for purpose in terms of productive farmers who are active farmers who never sought zoning in the first instance, having to pay a tax on farming, if you like. And that just can't be a runner. No, all parties agree on that. And secondly, there are other situations that need to be accounted for. Say for example, housing can't happen because of infrastructure isn't enabled. A road isn't built or, you know, it could be under judicial review for years. Is it fair that someone will be taxed for 5 years if it's not their fault that land isn't being developed? Okay, we're trying to get at is those who have got planning permission who are hoarding, but those who have, legitimate reason, are not allowing their land to be developed. So we need a practical solution to that. The Minister of Finance has got data back. Just to explain to you, there was an appeal system with local authorities, but the vast majority of the appeals have been rejected by the local authorities. And that's something that people didn't anticipate. People thought of farmers.
Okay, we have that. Can I ask you really quickly, because we're just out of time, and I do want to ask you, you're a former Minister for Education, you're a passionate advocate for the Irish language. 23% of students this year did not sit Irish in the Leaving Cert. It's a scam, isn't it?
No, it's not. I think, again, let's be careful about assertions of that kind. I mean, I've witnessed personally difficulty in getting exemptions for certain students, particularly students who may not have been born in Ireland. I met Apple recently, Shane, Apple in Cork. You know, they employ 6,000 people. 48% of that 6,000 are Irish. The rest are European, 20%, and the remainder non-European. What's the point I'm making? We have a strong... A lot of people coming from different countries working in Ireland, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Brazilians and so on, and other Indians in our health service, Filipinos, and whose kids may not be, let's be straight up about it, in a position to do mandatory Irish. So I think we need to analyse it a bit more.
Okay, I
don't believe there's a scam going on. I actually think, and I agree with Mark Henry here, who's written extensively about progress in Ireland, there are more people speaking the Irish language today than there was at the birth of the nation. The development of Gaelscoileann over the last 30 years means we've far greater proportion of young people who are fluent in the Irish language. And I know this myself talking to them. I was at Fláthchiúil na hÉireann recently in Wexford town, and I was able to conduct conversations in Irish with a lot of young Irish people there, a lot of young musicians. So I'd be more positive and optimistic about the Irish language.
So I better let you go, but thank you indeed for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Martin
there.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman
in association with AIR
on News Talk.